My name is Nicholas Upchurch. It's an honor to have you here with me today. Our website is believe.love. Our YouTube, youtube.com/believeloveyou. Believe iTunes.com for iTunes. Believe Android.com for Android users. It's an honor to be with you. We're going to help you today. We have an amazing guest coming up, a great guy. And he's going to help us with health and wellness. But I want to get into world news immediately. So I've been monitoring things on our YouTube channel and kind of just seeing some initial reaction. We've had 350,000 views worldwide, all in all, with all of our videos in a month, which isn't a little and isn't like millions of views, but it's something to start with. And there is so much hate when it comes to world news. I want to talk about that. Why is there so much hate out there when it comes to talking about world news? I put a video up about avoiding nuclear war with Russia, that's probably a good thing. And we have people, first of all, I don't even think they're watching the video. Maybe they don't, you know, they can pick things out about the fact that I have a shaved head or me, or it's not really about me. It's actually about the pain inside of us, because I've been there. How do I know this? I've actually been there. I've had so much pain that I could care less. It wouldn't matter if Jesus was standing in front of me telling me I was great. I was probably going to find something wrong with him. So I could say that Donald Trump's going to solve all your problems instantly, and there's going to be 50% of people, or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or whoever, 50% of people are going to want to complain, cry, break windows, do things like that. And it's just fascinating to me. Honestly, I want your comments. I want your comments. What can we do about all of the hate when it comes to world news? Do you think that's healthy? I would say no. I would say to have that much hate, it actually feels terrible inside of us. I can understand it, though, if you do. I can understand it because it's not so simple. It's not so simple when you've had to go through, you know, the United States, we had slaves. So there are things that I don't know that anybody living currently was a slave, but it did exist. And we've also had technologies and different things that could have been hidden from us, right? There are things that probably have happened, none of us know, that could be even worse. If we're talking about good and evil, and what, you know, worse is just a word, but if we're talking about duality, which is good and bad, and we could have the technology now to cure all diseases and to have free energy right now and to end all poverty. But instead, people want to throw things through windows, complain, and have so much hate that it's overtaking them, that they can see a video that's positive and just be like, I hate you, I hate Donald Trump, you're F you, and everything else. And it's fascinating to me. But I have to say, I understand that pain. And if you feel that way, and I've had to do this, let's look in the mirror, right? Let's look in the mirror. If we wonder why things aren't going our way, maybe we need to look in the mirror at us. Maybe it's not everything else. Maybe it's me. And I'll just say it starts with me, because everything else probably a reflection of us. And there's just so much rage. It's unbelievable. And people don't even know why they're angry. Honestly, I went to the inauguration. Let me grab this. I got this FedEx. So I just grabbed it. It actually came like the day. Good thing I checked the mail, right? So I have these tickets. On Friday, I went to the inauguration in the United States. You see these invitations. And we're seeing here, President and Vice President of the United States, the honor of your presence is requested at the ceremonies attending the inauguration of the President and Vice President of the United States, the capital of the United States of America, city of Washington. So I got these and I had to go. I had to go because I voted for Obama and I voted for Trump. And I'm proud to vote for both. And if you're caught in a Republican-Democrat kind of thing, you gotta wonder who really wants you in that. Is there, you know, there are very rich people right now that have an interest in us hating each other, whether it's other countries, other parties and all this stuff. It's kind of like a big mirage. You might as well look in the mirror and start yelling at yourself, to be quite honest. It would probably be more effective. In fact, there's a neuroscientist who died now, but her name was, I believe, Ellie. And at gocure.com, she actually cured herself of, she had schizophrenia, and she was published in a mainstream scientific journal based on her research. And she used to yell and go crazy, and that's how she eventually got out of a mental hospital. And some of us were so angry that it feels like we need to be in a mental hospital. And I'm going to tell you, some years ago, and I'm still processing things that happened from my childhood, I felt the same way. I felt like, man, I don't even know why I'm angry. I just need something to be angry at. And I would feel guilty when I would get that angry. And I think when people, you know, the Crusades, if we look at the Crusades, the church, right? They felt that they had every right to be killing people and that they were doing it in the name of something good. So you see love trumps hate, you know, this love trumps hate with Donald Trump's name. And then you have people throwing things through windows in the name of love. It's fascinating to me. But I understand them. I've actually felt, and I voted for Obama. I'm very independent. I could care less, to be honest with you. If there weren't certain things about Donald Trump in terms of what he ended up talking about, I wouldn't have voted for him. It's not like I love just Donald Trump. I thought he was fascinating, kind of entertaining on The Apprentice. And I guess a good businessman, some people would argue with that. People argue with anything. You can literally say anything and people will say F you. People will say F you. And you know what? I understand. I've been one of those people that wanted to say F you and probably did many times, right? So we look at why we have this anger and what's going on. And it really comes down to us. Look at yourself. And I've been one of these people that thinks it's for a greater purpose. So, you know, I can have this anger, but it's for a greater purpose and therefore it's okay. And to a point, the thing that's not perfect about Donald Trump is that, you know, he used the same technique. I happen to think, and he said in an interview with Megyn Kelly, if he wouldn't have said certain strong things, he doesn't think he would have won. And the proof behind that, and I've talked about this in other videos, Ron Paul ran against Mitt Romney in 2012, and he got second in Iowa, second in New Hampshire, and then there was a debate in South Carolina. First of all, there was a debate after that. CBS gave him 45 seconds in a two-hour debate, and that's a whole another story. Who actually owns the news that all of us, you know, some people, if you only watched mainstream news, you would definitely hate Donald Trump. You would hate him. You would think he's Satan because that's basically what every news channel is saying, which is a little bit strange. And half the country picked up on that more, you know, roughly, right? Half the country that voted, the people that voted in the United States. So if we look at Donald Trump, you know, we go back to Ron Paul. Ron Paul in South Carolina got 5% of South Carolina's vote. The debate before South Carolina, that's the primary after New Hampshire. It's a big state. It's in the South. You know, you get momentum. You have to win the South as a Republican. By the way, you can't win as a Democrat unless you take big money because they have super delegates. They have like 500 of them. And Bernie, if you looked at the polls they show on the TV, with Hillary versus Bernie Sanders, they would add the superdelegates to her total the entire time before just assuming they were for her. And it's all about money. It's all about money. And the Democrats complain about money, but it's the same thing. And by the way, Republicans used to be even worse. So I don't want to, it's not a Republican and Democrat issue. The hatred is pretty wild. It's it's encouraging me to create this segment because it's actually unbelievable. It's actually just because people feel so much pain inside of themselves. And to be honest, they need major love. I know I do. And it's actually my responsibility to love myself, just like whoever has the rage. But hopefully, if you don't have that rage, if you really want to be loving, you can help by actually loving those people that you think you should hate. And not, it doesn't even matter what they think the policies are. Half of the people that are complaining probably didn't even vote, right? If we're talking about world news and things like that. So Donald Trump probably saw, and he wanted to win. He knew he couldn't run as a Democrat if he wasn't going to sell out. And he ran as a Republican, and he knew that if he was really nice, he wasn't going to win. So that's just the bottom line. And anybody can complain and yell and scream, and he knows he has a problem with perception, and that's why he's asking Steve Harvey, Kanye West, different people to talk to him, because he knows there's a problem with perception. And the bottom line is that the president doesn't run the country. And it's just a news flash. Now, I think actually there's a chance that it becomes somewhat different this time around. But it's the only time that it's been like that. Bill Clinton was in a press conference in the 90s. You can go on YouTube and find it. He said, there's a government within the government that I don't control. So I'm not sure what we can do about hate when it comes to world news. I think people want to vent, almost like sports. I played football in front of 111,000 fans. People like to go and have a reason to yell and get drunk. And that's fine. I don't mind. I'm actually encouraged by the people downvoting different things that we're saying on this channel, because they're not even watching, and they don't care. But I want to love them more. And just like I want to love myself more when I feel like that. And I want to say I understand all of the hatred. I actually understand it, because there's tremendous pain in the world. And what we're trying to do at Believe, we're looking at moving into a big studio, hiring more people on the air with multiple shows. You know, we're developing a supplement line, hiring reporters around the world. I mean, this is sort of a longer term plan, but we want to be a bridge between the people that want this peace and love and the reality. The reality is that people with a lot of money and big guns control the world, whether anybody likes it or not. Nobody's going to magically give up that control. You're not going to yell at them and, you know, have college age students run around and break a window. And, you know, actually the people running the world probably want that to happen currently, if I'm going to be honest. George Soros, which he's not saying he's evil, but there are people that invested, $100 million in Black Lives Matter. And, you know, I'm not sure why. I don't see the correlation there logically in terms of the cause of Black Lives Matter. And it is what it is. And actually, those people, if George Soros has an agenda, we can love him. Hating him, if you're a Republican or whatever, and you see that this guy is evil, and, well, hating him, you're just going to become what you actually hate. And I've done that. And again, we might as well bang our head into a wall. It would be easier. We get to the point quicker. It'd be easier for us. So if we want peace, and you are a peaceful person, even you have more love than me, all of this madness, we can't ignore it. I would say, how can we love it better and understand the pain even more? And there may be people that can't be reached. I mean, I utter one positive thing about Donald Trump, and I have some guy cussing me out in the comments of a YouTube video. And it's like, I actually said I voted for Obama. I live in Miami. All of my neighbors speak Spanish. Entiendo un poco español. I lived in Puerto Rico last year with the streets signs were in Spanish. I mean, give me a break. One of the girls that I really loved in life is from Colombia. So I just don't get it. I do get it. I like it. I love it. I love that people are so worked up that they have to just, you know what it is? It's actually a trigger. It's a trigger. We all have them. I have triggers. I can actually go on the street and if I haven't meditated and centered myself or just talking to one new person, I've been so traumatized in life that I will feel almost uncomfortable sometimes just being out with humanity, period. Like, that's my trigger. Just going outside could be a trigger for me. It's not that I have hatred anymore, but I have in the past dealing with humanity, period, including the imperfections of myself, not just the imperfections of everybody else. So I do get it. I get those triggers. People want them. We want to hate. And I think the first step is talking about it openly. And then if you want to take action, you know, what I'm going to do is build a company. I'm going to keep going. I love it. I love the fact that it's people are resisting. I resist things. And I think I mentioned this before. I had to lay down before I do some of these episodes, like literally lay down, because so much is going through my head. It's putting myself out there. It would be easy for other people to even do what I'm doing now. It doesn't seem like much. But for me, it is, and it's a good thing. There's some beauty in that discomfort. You know, when you work out, you know, when you work out or when you run, you feel good, but it feels like there's tension, and it's not really pain, but it's kind of like pain. Well, it's the same thing I'm going through right now. There's actually energy moving through me. My mind is changing. My highs and my lows are harmonizing. And if you don't want the lows, I don't think hating people that you perceive as the low, whether it's Donald Trump, the Illuminati, George Soros, I don't think that's going to raise them, their vibration up. I think you're kind of becoming what you hate. And I speak from experience. And this is my effort to try to do something different. And I know it's not perfect, but I just wanted to talk about that, why there's so much hate when it comes especially to world news, why so much hate exists on the internet and everywhere. And I really would love your feedback. So find this video at believe.love or on YouTube, youtube.com/believe loves you, and subscribe as well. It's free. And we're putting our best information out there for free. And if you subscribe, it will help us a lot. It will bring attention. And as opposed to just complaining, it will actually help to make a difference by viewing our videos, spreading our links, and you become our community. You are our community. And there's going to be a lot more people involved. We've had some of the top business consultant, one of them, the top business consultants in the world on our show. We've had amazing guests. We have so much more in store. And I'm going to under-promise and over-deliver. I can promise you that. So thank you so much. And with me right now in Believe, I have an amazing guest, Trevor Spencer, who helps people train for marathons. And he helps people, he's actually a fitness expert. And one of the ways I really think people can get into great shape is to run. It's actually something I really respect. It's something that's really tough to do. And Trevor, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here.
Great. So Trevor, you run marathontrainingacademy.com, and I really recommend people check that out. And Trevor, tell me about the site. What do you guys do at marathontrainingacademy.com?
Well, we try to have the best resource for people that want to train for a marathon or half marathon. And I'm not actually an expert. My wife is.
Okay. She's, what's her name, by the way?
Angie Spencer.
Cool.
So yeah, she's a certified running coach. She's also a registered nurse. I'm sort of the technical guy to the website, and I'm also co-host on the podcast and run a lot of the business side of things. But I've also completed 12 marathons and quite a few half marathons. But we really excel at helping new runners train up for their first half or their first full marathon, inspiring them that they really do have what it takes, and then helping them avoid a lot of the big mistakes that people can make if they're trying to take on the marathon challenge.
Sure.
And we also really emphasize injury prevention.
So what mistakes can really happen with new runners that can really be big problems for people just getting into running long distances and getting in shape in that manner?
Well, there's some running injuries that can be common. Things like runner's knee, shin splints, Achilles tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, which is this killer pain on the bottom of your foot. There's maybe six or seven really big ones. Lower back pain can also be a thing. And running injuries tend to indicate some sort of training breakdown. So there could be something biomechanical going on when you're running, something to do with your running form being off. It could be as simple as your shoes. Now, a lot of times new folks, when they start running, they'll just find whatever shoes they already have, maybe buried in their closet somewhere, or just pull out their cross trainers and try to get by on those. And a lot of times they can get injured. I know that when I first started trying to build up my running base, I had just like an old pair of cross trainers that I tried to use, and I started getting shin splints. It was a mess. So what we recommend people do if they're getting serious about wanting to become a runner,
sure,
is go find a specialty running store. I know here in the US we got them all over the place.
Right.
And they will evaluate your foot strike, you know, see if you're a heel striker or midfoot, forefoot, see if you're pronating when you push off the ground, and they will evaluate that, probably put you on a treadmill and have you run and watch it with a slow motion camera and really see how you're landing, where the weight is going, and then diagnose you into a shoe that's going to help help you hit the ground properly. And you know, you'll have to invest maybe $100 or so in a good pair of running shoes, but it'll be worth the money. And also keep up with how many miles you put on your shoes, because they say about 400 miles max is what a pair of running shoes can do until they kind of start breaking down. Even though they might look nice on the outside, sort of the structure of the running shoe starts to break down after about 400 miles. So it's good to not put too many more miles after that, and maybe even have an extra pair to kind of rotate in and out. So little things like that can go a long ways to helping people do this right.
Wow. And I really respect runners, because running a marathon is no joke. I wanted to ask you specifically, I ran the 2 mile. I played football in college at the University of Michigan and University of Central Florida before that. And we had to run, but a lot of sprints. At University of Michigan, we ran golf courses and did crazy things. But why is running a great way for somebody at any age and any fitness level to get started in? That's the first part of the question. The second is, how do they do that and stay motivated? And the third part is, how long is a half marathon and how long is a full marathon?
All right. I'll answer those in reverse order.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Marathon is 26.2 miles. Half is 13.1. Average person, it takes them about 4.5 hours to finish a marathon. So it's a long time to be running.
That's right.
Why do people do it?
How do they break into it? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's multiple reasons somebody could get into running. A lot of times it's folks that just want to lose weight.
Okay.
And get healthier. Sometimes it's to deal with stress. And we tend to see that weight loss is one of the bigger reasons why people get into it. I mean, it definitely is great for that, but there's probably better motivations for wanting to become a runner, because you could start running for weight loss and then maybe not see the pounds drop like you want, or you might even gain weight. I mean, who knows? I mean, sometimes it happens if you're running a lot, you're just really hungry all the time. So you start eating more, and maybe you start eating more junk food because you figure, well, I'm going to burn it off anyway. probably a better reason for wanting to become a runner is to kind of build a lifestyle in which you are being active and healthy, and let it be, you know, a vital part of that. Like, if you want to be the type of person who lives a healthy, active lifestyle, and running is the way that you express that. So it's more like on an identity level. So it's not just the results that it brings, but it's just the type of life that you aspire to. You know, the best way to become a runner is just start viewing yourself as one. And then you'll want to do activities that align with your identity. There's a great book that came out last year. It's called The Runner's Brain by Dr. Jeff Brown. He's a Harvard psychologist, and he's also the lead psychologist at the Boston Marathon. So you wouldn't think they would need psychologists at marathons, because they have medical doctors, they have medical tents. If there's issues, you know, they'll take care of you. But they also have a team of psychologists at the Boston Marathon to help people with, like, pain management. And it's pretty interesting. But in this book, Dr. Brown has a chapter called "I Think, Therefore I Am a Runner." It's kind of like, you know, Rene Descartes, "I Think, Therefore I Am."
Sure.
He says that as far as identity formation goes as a runner, you know, beginning to see yourself as one is what leads you to becoming more and more of a runner. And you think it'd be the other way around. You know, I'm not a runner unless I have done a marathon, or unless I've run a really fast mile. People think they have to earn that title, you know, that they're not a true runner yet. You're a true runner if you decide that you want to be one, and you begin to see yourself in a different way, even if you just are running, you know, for 30 minutes at a time for now, or even just run walking, or even if you just go a mile. If you see yourself as a runner, you're going to be going down the right path in your life to becoming more and more solidified in that character. Does that make sense?
Sure, it certainly does. I would say the community aspect sounds really interesting, and I want to ask you about that. We're talking with Trevor Spencer, who is actually somebody who helps people run marathons, like Ironmen, Iron Women, and people any age. At any age can get started running, and he runs with his wife marathontrainingacademy.com, which is a really cool site. It's really organized very well. Trevor, I wanted to ask you, how important is that community aspect to running, and how does somebody at any level, any age, get involved with the community and the lifestyle? It sounds like that's what will really motivate people to actually do this all the time. So how can people get involved with communities wherever they are in terms of running?
Yeah, that's a very important aspect. And you'll find that when you get into running, that the running community is very welcoming. It's just a, you know, very non-judgmental community to be in, for the most part. People are very positive. And there's, you know, if you want to go local, probably most communities, most locales will have a running club. I know RRCA is big here in the States, Roadrunners Club of America.
Okay.
They have local chapters. Just about every, you know, town of any decent size will probably have a 5K or various race, and there'll be a running community that's probably connected around that you can join. We also have, you know, very good online communities and training groups. I know that on our website we have a community that we call the Academy, where we have people from all over the world who are with us right now training for various distances. And we have a private Facebook group for our members.
Oh, really? So people can join at your site, marathontrainingacademy.com. Like, you have actually a community there online?
We do.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah, it's a premium training community where we offer courses, and we have running coaches that are there to answer questions, and we also have training plans and all kinds of good stuff.
Well, that's actually something I would check out if I were to start really taking this seriously. And I think the cool thing about running is that literally anybody, any age, because I know people are very open with running. You always see marathons. I mean, some people are very fast, But mm-hmm. some people are just really doing it. It's for themselves. But to have that, it can seem intimidating, especially thinking about running a marathon. If I'm, you know, 55, 60 years old, actually some people that age could run it faster than I could right now. And I work out. But some people that age, they might like be like, do I want to run? Do I want to really? But it sounds like if I go to marathontrainingacademy.com, there are people to help me, encourage me, and coach me. I mean, how fast does somebody have to run? How does somebody really break into running if they're just starting from scratch? Is it easy to do, break into it, to start from scratch and do it?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a little bit about my story. See, I'm married to a running coach, and my wife has been a runner for a long, long time, but I used to, well, until about 10 years ago, I didn't run at all. I hated it.
Right. I'm kind of like freaked out by it a little bit too, but I know it's a good thing that a lot of people get in shape different ways. So what happened with you, Trevor?
Well, I started getting into running with this question in my head. Can I learn to like or even love what I now hate? So I hated running. I was always an active guy. I mean, I like sports and I like to hike and stuff and ski, but just running for the sake of running, you know, without any kind of competition, it didn't seem very fun. But what I did is I started out by trying to run for 1 minute and then walking for three and then running for one, walking for three. That's a really simple way to start. And I remember that first minute was miserable. You know, trying to run for a minute straight, then it you know, got easier and easier. And at first you really feel your lungs burning, I remember, when you start running, but that kind of goes away pretty quick unless you're a smoker. And then I started to just flip that formula, and I ran for 3 minutes and then walked for one until that felt comfortable. Then I would then I had a goal of running a mile. So I, you know, could do that. And then I built up to three. So it's just baby steps. There's a lot of great couch to 5K training plans out there. And yeah, I think anybody can get into it. Of course, it's very inexpensive. I mean,
that's right.
You don't have to have a bunch of fancy equipment. Just have a pair of shoes and just lace them up and go out the door. Well, and as far as marathons go, it's not for everybody. It's a long way to run, no doubt. But it is a life changing challenge. We have a podcast where we talk about marathon training. Our tagline is empowering you to run a marathon and change your life. And sometimes people first hear that and they're like, well, that's a little out there,
it's a big claim,
overstatement. But
how do you feel when you're done? I mean, like when you accomplish that and run a marathon, like how do you feel?
Yeah, you feel like $1 million. I mean, you truly have changed on many levels. You've become more mentally tough. Your body has certainly changed, and you're able to endure. You have probably found this whole different level to yourself that you didn't know was there. And in my case, you know, I found a whole new passion because I used to hate to run and now I love it. It's definitely part of my identity. So even though it does sound a little hypey, it does change your life to run a marathon. And we've heard back from many, many people who've echoed that, because it's a big challenge. Anytime you take on big challenges like that, it's going to put you through a process that will probably, you know, hopefully make you a stronger person in the end.
I agree. I always actually remember the story about the lady who swam from Key West to, I think, Cuba, and she's 60. And I tell my mom about that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, and my mom's actually getting in shape as well. And I think it's such an amazing thing when people do things like run marathons. I would definitely need a support group, I think in your case, you found a beautiful woman that became your wife. That helped, right? For guys, right?
Yeah.
It's motivation, because it's a healthy thing to do. There's people out, and marathontrainingacademy.com. You can join an online community and listen to Trevor's podcast for free, but then sign up for their training academy as well, and you get coaching and things like that. But what I think is really cool, you know, I actually added cardio. I noticed about your story, Trevor, the intervals. And I do now I added cardio to weight training because I wanted a six pack just like I had a couple years back, and I was doing okay. You know, I played football and I've stayed in shape with weights, but I added cardio back this year, and I do HIIT, which is very similar. It's running as fast as you can for 20 seconds and then just jogging for 40 or doing the bike for the same amount. And I would say even if somebody's freaked out by running a marathon, they want to work up to that, they could even start on a bike at a gym and just to get their heart rate up to where they feel confident that they can go out with a community, and even doing it for 1 minute after your workout or a couple minutes and doing that interval training, like you said, whether it's shorter like I'm talking about or longer and you know, more for distance like you're saying, get your heart rate up at the gym on the machines just so you feel comfortable. You can do it for 5 minutes and then get out there with a group and do a longer run. Does that sound something that might be reasonable to do breaking into running?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of components that we need to think about though. First is that if someone's hesitant to go out and run because they don't have anybody to run with, you got to remember that part of this process is learning to go into a new headspace. You have to deal with the boredom and the monotony, and that's going to be useful in life because a lot of life is that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So being able to push yourself when no one else is there to do it with you, and be able to be with yourself and with your thoughts on lots of long, lonely miles, there's a lot of transcendence for a person in that. You know, there's a lot of mental training to be gained from a thing like that. And another mistake that people can make is they think that they equate running with high cardio, and they feel like unless they're out running fast and pushing hard that they're not making any gains. And that's a rookie mistake that a lot of people will probably injure themselves or overtrain. Overtraining is the number one cause of failure in long distance running. So there's something to be said about easy runs, long, slow distance is what they also talk about when we get into longer distance runs. But we have the philosophy that less is more. So we actually encourage people to run less days per week than a lot of the other training plans online, because, you know, you got to have time for recovery in between runs. We only would encourage like one intense running day per week where you're doing like speed work on a track, or you're doing hill work or something similar to that. The other days should be easy, you know, plus there'll be one long run in a marathon training plan. So typically there's three running days a week for a beginner, an easy run, and then there's like maybe a tempo run, and then there's a long run. And then that's just wash, rinse, repeat for about 20 weeks.
So what I really hear are a few things, and there's the first thing that comes to mind when you're talking, Trevor, is small victories. You know, you go for small victories. The second thing that I really hear coming through when you're talking about running that it can change your life is to learn to love the things that we hate. And actually, that's a theme on Believe. We talk about the world news. We talk about ourselves, people. And actually, I can do a better job of that. But that's actually something I talk about and we talk about on this show all the time. And so this can be something where you're right. Somebody like you did when you met your wife, or before that, around that time, you're like, man, this sounds terrible. And this could be a real life example of getting to do that. And the third thing I hear, Trevor, is that this can be a very sort of a meditation, that basically when you're running, you are alone, you're doing something physical, you're having some strain, maybe, or not necessarily strain, but you're working out. But actually, you can reflect. It can be a very peaceful thing too. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's why most people continue to do it. I mean, if you are starting from zero, it's going to be miserable, and you're probably going to dread getting out there until you get up to being able to run past 3 miles. It, you know, it could vary for people, but when you first start running, like all you can think about is your legs and your feet and your lungs, and like you're very much focused on your body. Like your thoughts are internal, focused on yourself. But then you hit this point where there's a breakthrough, where you go out there and it feels effortless, and your thoughts are focused out of your head. You're noticing your surroundings, or you're thinking about a movie you watched, or you're thinking about something else other than your own discomfort. And there's even something called the runner's high, where you can be in that state for miles and miles, and then you look down at your watch and you're like, oh, I just 5 miles just went by like that. It's a real flow state for athletes. But to even get to the point where you just feel that freedom just to go out and run and not be all bottled up inside, it could take a few months. Sure. You know, it's like learning to play the guitar, or something else I do. Oh, wow. I remember when I was first taking guitar lessons as a teenager, everything was weird. I mean, you got to put your fingers in positions that you don't do in normal life. You know, when you're making chords and your fingertips are all sore, and it's just bad and awkward, like most instruments. It just sounds awful for the first 3 months or 4 months, however long it takes. And then you are released into – you keep practicing, and then you hit this point where you're just free to do songs and to jam, because you went through all the tough – you know, phase, and now you have accomplished a degree of mastery over something. And I would argue that running's pretty similar to that.
Well, I think I really respect people that can do that. I have experienced running miles more a long time ago in school, and it is everything Trevor's saying. And actually, I would say that it's something easy that anybody can do. There's no cost to it. You can go to marathontrainingacademy.com, and Trevor will actually help you in a variety of ways, himself and his wife, who's an expert, actually the expert. She got Trevor into it, maybe. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I thank Trevor for his time, and I think they're helping a lot of people get healthy. And there's so many ways to get healthy. I think the important thing is running. To me, the reason why I'm honored to talk to Trevor, anybody listening to this can literally get started right now. And I believe in you, whoever you are out there. I know Trevor does as well. If you want to listen to Trevor's podcast, and what's the name of your podcast, Trevor?
Marathon Training Academy.
It's very simple. The same as the website, marathontrainingacademy.com. You can do that while you're running. Anything to get started doing something. And Trevor's going to guide you. And it's been an honor to talk to you. A lot of the themes you're talking about apply to literally themes in our life and in our world that we're all trying to do. So thank you so much for your time, Trevor.
Well, thank you. It's been fun talking to you, Nicholas.